Welcome to episode number 13, lucky number 13 of the Foodie Flashback, the podcast where we talk about food, food-related memories, and like anything that comes with that. My guest today is someone I've been very lucky to have been on quite a few podcasts with recently. It's Callum. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, doing well. Very busy. You know, lots and lots to do since lockdown's finished. So very busy running around today. Visited a couple of clients and nice. You know, sorted a few bugs out for them. So very busy and nice. Always lots to do.
and now we've immediately dated this episode. Yes, we're in 2020. Yes, it's basically summer 2020 after the whole Corona lockdown. Mm-hmm. To the people in the future, I don't know what happened after this. No. I hope it got better. We'll see.
Just make sure you edit it nice and quickly.
Oh, I'll do that. No, absolutely. It's gonna be released before Christmas. Didn't say which year. Okay. No. no. Anyway. I mean, you're like by day, you're like repairing mostly Macs, but not only. For I'm at Macs, that much I know. Like, tell the people a little bit about you, like where you come from, where you're located, anything like that.
Yeah, so I'm from Birmingham in the UK. So born here, grew up here, live here now still. Pretty simple. Pretty, you know, easy stuff. I've always kind of lived and worked in about 10 miles of where I was born. So,
So you know your area well. That's what you're saying.
I know my area very well.
Like, you know every stone and like every, and when you come home from the pub, you're like, I mean, you can basically like be completely drunk and blind and everything. You'll still find your way home, right?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of that where I live, if I do come home from the pub, you know, I'll be blind anyway because it's down a country lane, so it just means I can drink as much as I want and it doesn't make any difference. So there you go.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's also like the only thing you can do right now. I mean, as you said, the pubs just opened in the UK.
Literally this weekend, so I'm really dating the episode.
Well, I mean, you never know, like there might, like maybe people be in the phase where like the pubs open, the pubs close, and then nobody will know exactly.
No.
could happen. No. I mean, what's your approach to food? Like, do you consider yourself a foodie? Do you like food at all? Anything like this?
I do like food. I'm not at all a foodie. I can cook things, not many things. To be fair, I do enjoy cooking occasionally. It's just obviously, as I'm sure you know, it's you know, when you're very busy and when you're coming home late from work and things like that, you know, it's always difficult to take the time to cook, but I always enjoy doing it, you know. I do believe in kind of simple cooking as well. I don't really overcomplicate things if and when I do cook. So you know, I like a lot of kind of you know, chicken that I've marinated and done with a nice salad or something like that. Nothing too complex. It's always, you know, fairly kind of simplistic, quick stuff and, you know, quick and tasty.
Yeah. So no, like 8-hour stew, like cooking all day, like weekends. No.
No. If I can do it from frozen and it's relatively healthy, I'm all over it. I'm absolutely all over it.
So what's your definition of a foodie?
I think for me, probably someone that's interested in food past just eating it. I think someone who actually goes out of their way to either find quality ingredients or find, you know, a quality place to eat, or even just someone who enjoys cooking. So, you know, past it just being, I've got to do it to survive. So I think it could be really broad, and I think it can be basically anyone who's just interested in more than the basic necessity, I'd say.
That's very interesting because, I mean, one, it's a very broad definition, and you said earlier that you don't include yourself in that group. So that's very interesting. Like, I mean, you said you're interested in food, you like cooking. What part's missing for you to, like, for yourself to Like, see yourself as a foodie?
I think probably the consistency. Mm-hmm. I think for me, a foodie is someone, I probably should have said this, but someone who does it on a regular basis, who is happy to cook 7 nights a week, and really go not too far afield, but really look for good ingredients and, mm-hmm. Making a nice meal, people who research recipes and stuff like that. And, I think for me, sort of consistency with it, where it's, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it 5, 6, 7 nights a week or whatever, rather than probably once every couple of weeks, which is what I managed to do. So,
yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's probably some consistency to it. I mean, time is always another issue. Like, not everybody who might be a foodie is maybe in the position to like cook because they're like traveling a lot
to be
whatever.
A foodie. Yeah, of course.
No, I mean that makes sense. Like you said, like you enjoy simple cooking. Like, do you remember? Like, do you have any idea where that came from? Like,
I think it's probably always come from my kind of upbringing, where it's been, because obviously both my parents worked as I was growing up, so it's always been probably simple through the necessity that it had to be quick. So any food that was made was always, it was always good food, but it was never, as you say, an 8-hour slow cook or someone's slaved over an oven for 2-3 hours. It was always something within an hour that that often was done very very quickly and on a weeknight. So
I like to call that more functional cooking, like especially in families. Like, I mean, and it's not a bad thing. Like, it's simply something, like, especially if you have a bigger family or you simply have kids, like even one baby or one kid is enough for that. If you're busy and they need food and like something has to be on the table, like it's very functional. Like, it just like you just have to do it. Did you like come from a bigger family or you're your only child?
I was actually an only child for 10 years. And then we got my little brother 10, 11 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So always a smaller family for us. And and also what I think is quite interesting as well in the context of cooking, certainly in my family, going back, it was always my dad and is always my dad that does the cooking, which is, growing up talking to people, that's it tends to be the mom that does the cooking more than the dad. So it was always my dad, if anything was kind of taking the time to be prepared or whatever, it was always my dad that took the time to do it, and he does quite enjoy cooking. Trying different things, trying different cuisines and trying to kind of master it and cook it himself. So food really interests him.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a little bit like a generational difference. Like, if I talk to, I've talked to Yuen or, like, people are quite a bit older than us or even, like, a little bit older than us. I think I'm quite a bit older than you.
At least a couple of
years. But I definitely see, like, a little bit of a generational divide where, like let's say whatever 40 45 plus or 50 plus it was more usually the mom who was cooking, more like traditional gender roles, and then over time that changed. And like I see it with my family, like the same thing like you said, where my dad was actually the one who was more enjoying cooking and actually doing it more. I mean, it doesn't mean, like, I don't know, in your case, did your mom cook at all, or was it always your dad?
I'd say what it probably was, to be honest, my mum probably cooked more regularly than my dad when I was younger, but it was, it was always the kind of quicker meals, which I talked about, which my mum prepared. And then when it was a weekend or something and we were going to try and, have a curry or do something different, or, I've found this recipe, it was always my dad that got all the ingredients and really took the time to make it happen, sort of thing. So I'd say on balance it's probably my mom that did perhaps the bulk of the cooking through the week, and then my dad did bits and pieces on the weekend. But
So your mom did more like the functional cooking for, like, as that weekday, like just like something quick that just like has to be
on
done.
On balance though, I think to be fair, looking back, and a lot of these things you don't really tend to think about, I suppose, but it was always it was fairly well shared, but I'd say on balance my mum probably do more of the cooking. Definitely. So
I mean, there's no blame in that. I mean, it's simply if you're both working and you have like you as a child, I mean, yeah, someone has to do it, and whoever is around earlier probably would do it, like traditionally. Simply also by like time that's available.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like what kind of things did your mom like cook more? You said like more quick things, simple.
Yeah, so kind of looking back, I'd say probably the one that always stuck out for me when I was younger, and I don't know if this is probably because it was my favorite when I was younger, but probably chicken nuggets, which sounds awful when you say it out loud, but they always stick out in my head. But I do tend to remember a lot of mashed potato, a lot of sort of cabbagey type stuff, a lot of, you know, a lot of kind of really hearty filling food that basically anything that could be boiled. yeah. If you could boil it, it was going on the plate with a bit of gravy. Yeah, so an awful lot of that sort of thing growing up, yeah. I think, you know, and kind of your cliched ones as well. So like a chili and a spag bol and stuff like that.
Sure.
They were always kind of fairly common in our house growing up. And, you know, a quick jarred curry or something like that as well. Mm-hmm. That was always one that happened fairly regularly too. So, yeah.
Did she cook more like from scratch? Was it more like buying something frozen and like doing like finishing touches, anything, or was in between? Like,
I'd say it was somewhere in between. So there was a bulk of frozen food in there. I wouldn't say it was probably the staple, but I think sort of thinking back, it was a lot of kind of say mashed potato, beans and sausages, and the sausages might have been frozen or something like that.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah, very few people make their own sausages, especially not on a weekday.
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. But you know, kind of it was usually a meat or something like that was cooked from frozen, and that sort of thing.
So more for convenience, like the things that make the mashed potatoes yourself, and then like whatever vegetables are frozen, or like as you said, the meat.
I mean, you know, thinking back at, as you say, a lot of it was just for convenience more than anything else, probably. Yeah. So
I mean, it's not uncommon. That's like a lot of people do that. Even full-on foodies or like chefs sometimes will like go back to it if in a pinch, or if like they just don't have the time, or for certain like dishes where it really doesn't make a like difference whether it's like frozen spinach or not.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of thinking to some of the dishes that you know, I see cooked now, and what even I've cooked myself. It's, you know, we have a bag of frozen garlic, crushed frozen garlic, because obviously that keeps forever and a day, and if you need to put some at the base of a dish, you can just bung it in from frozen, and it makes absolutely no difference to do something like that. So
I didn't even know that was a thing, frozen crushed garlic,
or frozen diced onion. You can get all sorts of stuff like that, and where obviously it saves you dicing it, and you know, not, I don't think we'd ever use that, but you do see it in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. I see it in the supermarket anyway.
I've never seen that. Not even in the US, which is surprising. Like, yeah. you would think they would have everything. I've never seen frozen diced onions anywhere. Maybe I haven't paid attention to that. Like, you never know.
Probably not. No. To be fair, it isn't too difficult to dice an onion anyway.
I mean, and crushed, like, that's why I thought about the crushed garlic. I mean, garlic lasts forever. Like, it's just like it's dry, so like just throw it somewhere. And like crushing a garlic clove is like takes like a second.
Yeah.
It's like smash it, done.
Like unpeel it, smash it, you're done. Yeah. Oh, another thing we have is...
Yeah, actually, you can do it the other way around. You smash it first, and then you
just
take
the peel off. Oh, yeah, and then it all stays. Yeah, of course,
just take the peel away. Something I learned from Jamie Oliver. So.
You've just changed the way I smash garlic.
Exactly. Thank you. That's it. Thank Jamie Oliver. He taught me that.
I'll give him a ring a bit later.
Please do. So, you said like, your dad cooked more like adventurous, like especially weekends, or like when there was a little bit more time. Do you remember anything? Like, was he very like, did he like experimenting at all?
I'd say his favorite one that he loves to experiment with, and he still does it to this day. One of his friends gave him a recipe for for a curry to do from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very rough recipe. But he, like, literally probably every week he'll say, I found a new spice, I found a new paste, I found a new whatever. I'm going to try it this week and see if you like it and see if you don't like it. Mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff like that. So that still goes on now. And it's always, sort of thinking back, it's always had an Indian kind of twist on it. The mm-hmm. food that he's always tried to make, you know, it's always been either some sort of marinated chicken or lamb, or you know, a curry he's made or something like that. And he's always, you know, it's always there thinking about different spices and different things to put in to make it a bit different or a bit better or whatever. And always loads of coriander with everything as well. Always,
coriander's awesome. Like one of my favorites.
It is good.
Like if it you can eat coriander. It, like if you can eat it, like not everybody can apparently.
Yeah, frozen coriander is very good as well.
Yeah, that's true. Like I've used that. Well, I froze it myself, but I've done that. Like it's sometimes helpful.
Unlike garlic, it does go off very, very quickly. Coriander.
Mm-hmm. Yep, unfortunately, so. Yes.
Yeah.
No, and for soups and whatever, it really doesn't make any difference. Like if you just throw it in for the taste, like who cares?
Yeah, you've just reminded me of my mom's cabbage soup. Actually, she used to make.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know why she called it cabbage soup, because half the time it never had any cabbage in it, but it was basically, I'm going to open the fridge, I'm going to go to the vegetable drawer, cut everything up and put it in there and make this soup, which would last about a week. And I never quite liked it, but mom seemed to anyway, and she was all eating it. So,
That actually reminded me of something very similar that my mom did, like, very, very similar. Like basically have like a whatever chicken or a vegetable stock as a base and then just throw in random vegetables. And cook them until they were mushy. Which is why I hated them.
Yeah. It's still a battle I have now, because obviously I've got kind of Irish descent and basically vegetables aren't cooked unless you can smear them over the walls in Ireland. So literally say we do a Sunday roast now, the veg is just by the time you've got it out of the boiling pot and put it onto the plate, it's already disintegrated. So I like mine with a touch more bite, to be fair.
But, me too. It's exactly the same thing. Like I cannot stand mushy vegetables. They have to have some bite.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So a lot of curries. I mean, curry is like a very broad category anyway. Like you can do basically a lot of things.
A curry can be anything pretty much, can't it? It has to be a sauce and spicy. Well, it doesn't even have to be spicy.
No, like I've had curries that are not spicy, that had no sauce, they were completely dry, but it was still a curry.
Absolutely.
Like it's really, really, that's something I really also enjoy quite a lot. Do you remember any particular curry that he did or that he tried, or was it like a different one every day?
It was, or every time? Every single one's always slightly different. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, normally by the time you come to eat it and you ask him, he doesn't know what he's put in. So it's always, it was this paste, and you go in the fridge and there's all different bits and pieces and he's there, I don't know which one I put in, all sorts of stuff like that. So,
it's a bit like, I don't know, I would call it strange experimental cooking, like just throw, like the mad professor kind, just throw stuff in it.
Yeah.
This looks good, let's do this.
That'll do. No, I mean, the kind of favorite one in our house is, that's going out of date, so I'll put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Open the fridge. That's going out of date. That's going in.
Which is absolutely valid. I mean, it's like the other thing you could do, or like if you didn't do that, like it would just go bad. And why do that? Like, why waste it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we mm-hmm. you know, big on wasting food. We've got a compost bin in the back garden as well. So you know, we are sort of very conscious of that, and try not to waste things where sort of possible. So. And to be fair, thinking about it again, that's probably channeled into our cooking a lot, and the way we kind of do things, that it's very use the date orientated rather than what I want, maybe something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, probably what is available right now, like more seasonal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you at all cook with like aunts, uncles, grandparents, anything like that, or remember like going there for food?
I was never allowed to cook with my grandparents. So
was there a reason for that?
It was just, I think it was always the aura. I think it more came from my mum, but obviously my mum's mum, and I talk to my mum, go, I'm going in the kitchen or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she go, no, don't go in there. My mum's cooking. Don't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might've been from her childhood, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Leave mum alone while she's cooking kind of thing. So, the kind of one that sticks out for me, my kind of nan, on my mum's side, my mum's mum, she was probably a touch closer to the Irish roots than myself. And, every meal always came from a sack of potatoes. every week she'd go up to the local shop and buy like a 10 kilogram bag of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in some shape or form would get fed off these potatoes every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Something would contain potatoes, be it chips, be it mashed potato, be it just jacket potato, anything. It was always just potato based in some way. Every single dish. Yeah. All of the time.
You said in the pre-show it's like potato with a side of potato.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. It'd be like what are you doing for tea? I'm doing chips. Just chips.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then the following day you'd have a jacket potato with butter in it. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just, you know, very kind of, again, the kind of quick sort of cooking, but it was always potato based at my nan's house, always, all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is kind of very much the Irish thing as well. So even now, like when I go to a family barbecue or something like that, it always makes me chuckle when I see it, because you can have, you know, all sorts of stuff going on the barbecue, you know, marinated meats, all sorts of spices flying around, and you know, it smells really, really good. And then there's always a bowl of boiled potatoes put down somewhere. I don't know why. They're not marinated in anyway. Just a bowl of boiled potatoes.
It's the Irish side always coming always. Through.
Yeah, just yeah. Someone always does a bowl of boiled potatoes, and I never get it, but yeah, they're always there and they always get eaten. So,
do you remember any favorite dish of yours that your grandma used to do, or like anything that sticks out to this day?
Her chips are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So her fries, they're just, you know, and even my mum says it, and they beat my mum's and dad's, and they are I think it's because she deep fat fries them. Mm-hmm. And she's had the same fryer since I can remember, so it's got all that flavor and all that stuff in it, and I don't know, it's
everything that probably makes it super unhealthy, but it's awesome.
You couldn't eat them every day because you wouldn't be here, but then, when you do go down and you do have them, they are fantastic. They really are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to put that in the show notes. I'll try to find some really good, like, a good fries recipe. It's definitely something that is not as easy to make. I mean, people just like it's potatoes. Like, how hard can it be? But, like, good, really, really good homemade fries are, like, very close to impossible. Like,
I think the fryer makes all the difference, because we tried it once. We brought a fryer and we made some chips and they were okay, but they weren't. You know, I think also that kind of 20 years of flavor that's gone into it makes a hell of a difference. I think that goes for a lot of things as well, kind of saucepans and whatnot, and you know, certain dishes and whatever. You know, how kind of real this is, I don't know, but I've always been told flavor goes into it and it does make a difference. So whether that's the same with a fryer, I don't know, but it seems to anyway.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, There's the thinking that, like, nobody should do fries at home because, like, the fat and everything that like everything that goes into it is simply not worth it.
But it kind of goes back to the day with my, you know, with my nanny in particular, where you couldn't go and get fries. So, and there was no such thing as oven chips. So you chopped a potato up and you fried it, because that was how you made chips 40 years ago or whatever.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You know, and I think she's just never kind of got out of it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, it's a good thing, I think. I mean, if like she clearly has the skills for it, so why not? Like
and she's also the only person I know that deep fries oven chips as well, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. You try and tell her that you're meant to put them in the oven. No. I'm going to fry them. I'm going to fry them anyway.
They belong in the fryer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's
funny. Yeah.
So you never cooked with your grandparents. Did you cook with your parents at all, or was that the same thing? Like never. No, don't go in there.
I'd say probably when I was younger, I did bake. I seem to remember baking some sort of cake or brownie or something like that when I was younger with my mom. But again, it was always sort of very functional cooking. And to be honest, most of the cooking that I do now myself, I have sort of learnt myself and, you know, Googled recipes and stuff like that, because it's always been, I suppose, probably a term for it's kind of pragmatic cooking, where it's just, you know, quick, easy, kind of tasty sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be honest, there wasn't many occasions where I've cooked with my parents, and if I have, it's probably been on some sort of Sunday roast where it's peel the vegetables and go away and stuff like that. So, you know, kind of keep out of my hair sort of cooking. So,
But you're saying you did like at least some work you did with your parents, as you said, peeling stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Of course, You know, definitely when I was younger, you know, I've got this memory of me stood on the chair up on the kitchen table, you know, being given a potato and a butter knife to try and cut it. And I was there for about an hour trying to peel one potato and stuff like that. So,
And then the pit potato was like really tiny at the end.
Yeah. And then got thrown in the bin afterwards rather than actually used, sort of stuff like that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, lots of memories like that, I suppose, but never really cooking, I don't think. Well, I suppose. Well,
it's still like you're still participating to some degree. Do you think that sparked like the interest in cooking at all, or was that more something that you picked up later?
I'd say it was something I picked up later. I think I think kind of thinking about it, most of my kind of cooking has always been inspired from things I've tried when I'm out, and I've gone, I'd like to be able to replicate that at home. And you know, obviously it's never going to be quite as good, but you know, trying to say, oh yeah, I'll, you know. When you go out, and I like Indian food quite a bit, and you go out and you have like a tandoori chicken or something like that, you can, you know, even if it's something as simple as buying a spice mix and marinating it overnight and things like that, I have kind of done things like that in the past where I've had it and I thought, you know, that's really nice and should be easy to do. So,
that's very dangerous. Like you look at it, like, oh, that should be totally easy to do, and then you look at the recipe, and it's like, oh, this is like a 36-hour
I remember this was actually during lockdown, and I thought I'd try and marinate some chicken just to make like a chicken tikka, and I thought, oh yeah, it must be easy, you can just buy the powder from a shop and get some natural yogurt and bung it all in and stir it up. And I went online and it was like 15 different spices, like half of which I've never heard of. I was like, okay, right, a touch more difficult. So I cheated and went online and brought a pre-made mix.
Works.
It was very nice, to be fair, so no complaints.
That's kind of the experience I've had with Indian cooking. Like there are certain dishes are like relatively easy and like a couple of spices, and there's other stuff where like it takes you a full day to even prepare everything. I'm like, maybe I'll go to the restaurant and let them do it, like let them deal with it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly fun to do, but like...
It is, You know, especially over in the UK, because there's Indian restaurants everywhere, and you can always, you know, I've got one literally across the road from my house, so, you know, you do think sometimes, yeah, I could do it myself, but is it worth all of this hassle and whatnot, and, you know... Only for them to do it a bit better than
I mean, I would say that's like, I mean, you're paying extra for it, so it should be better than what you're doing.
You'd hope so.
It's true. Like, I mean, it's an experience I've had. Like, I mean, one of the reasons I go out not too often is because a lot of restaurants are not that good. Like, when it comes to a lot of stuff, I'm like, I could have done that better.
What I always find is the kind of best thing to do is you know, I don't know how to phrase it, you know, maybe give an example. So, like, don't go to a steakhouse and order chicken. Like,
yeah, true.
Go somewhere and do what they're good at. So, yeah.
Don't go to an Indian restaurant and order pizza. Like, it's not, yeah. not going to work.
Yeah. You know, I always look on the back of Indian restaurant, you know, menus, and it's, I don't know who's ordering the omelette from there, but I don't know why you ever would. But yeah, it's obviously there for a reason. But yeah.
Also, like, for me at least, a huge red flag. If I see a menu and it has like 15,000 different dishes from all continents and like in like a million variations, I'm like, I'm not sure I want to order here, because like that probably means that none of them are any good, because like you don't have like you have to do them all, and you don't have like the time, even the skill to like make mm-hmm. them all good. So like, I mean, how can you like be good at like curry and pizza and steak and chicken and salad and tacos and like, I don't know.
It's all gonna be no good, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to France last year.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Lyon for a long weekend, and you know, the food's there is absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you order the right things.
Yes.
if you order the wrong things, you get looked at in a weird way, and then you get nothing.
It's like, oh, you're tourists.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So also something mm-hmm. I've discovered with France as well. I've been there twice in the past sort of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you order chicken, you tend to get duck.
I would prefer even.
I ordered a Caesar salad and got duck in it, so mm-hmm. I didn't mind, it was nice, but,
I would prefer that. Yeah, that's something, I mean, we've talked about on this show a couple of times. I really enjoy about Japanese cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they specialize. They do one thing and one thing only and nothing else. Like, they'll do one restaurant will just do like whatever, chicken skewers. And they'll do
good chicken skewers.
They'll do really good chicken skewers, and they'll do like 15 variations of it, but it's all chicken skewers. Like, it's all you
can. If you want beef skewers, you've got to go next door.
Go next door. Yeah, go to another guy. Like, and that's your life's work. Like, they'll work like till death to make the perfect chicken skewers every time. Like, it's
crazy. Makes sense, to be fair.
Yeah, it does, and it's like, it's kind of the opposite end, as I said, like to the restaurants that just do everything and think they can survive that way.
Yeah, I think you know, sort of thinking about it, we do get a lot of that over here in the UK, where you see a lot of, you know, restaurants just doing everything. So there's a place sort of nearby. We ordered pizza from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a 15-minute drive away. And we went in there, and they kind of advertised as a pizza place, and
mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing like traditional fish and chips as well,
mm-hmm.
as pizza, and they're doing curries in there, and like Indian food, like lots of samosas and
mm-hmm.
pakora and stuff like that. And you think, well, okay, that's a big
which one? Yeah. Which one are you?
Yeah, a big sort of difference.
Mm. Mm. And I mean, in some cases, it's probably. Like, they may have started out like as a pizza place because they thought that's what sells, but really they have really good Indian food. Like, sometimes it's worth trying it out and then figuring out, okay, like don't order the pizza, but like if you order like whatever the curry, it is really, really good, because that's actually what they're passionate about.
Yeah,
and other stuff is just there because like that's how it started.
Yeah, of course. I mean, to be fair, we went there and it was really, really busy,
mm-hmm.
which is a plus point, and mm-hmm. the pizza was. You know, it was cheap, but it was nice. It was mm-hmm. okay. We haven't tried anything else from there since. Mm-hmm. But, but it does always put a bit of a damper on it. Where you think, is it going to be any good, or is it going to be, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, like, what kind of food have you tried yourself? I mean, you said like you like to replicate, like go out, eat something, replicate it. Like, what are you like? Whatever. Your couple of favorites that you like to go back to?
Yeah, I'd say what I do enjoy doing is sort of making burgers from fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So chicken burgers normally. So a kind of thing that I try to replicate was like a breaded chicken burger. So I'll like toast a couple of pieces of bread, smash it up into breadcrumbs, like batter physically batter mm-hmm. a like half a chicken breast, so it's nice and tender. Mm-hmm. Put it in an egg wash, and then with the breadcrumbs, a bit of mustard in there, and kind of dip it and grill them. And they're really nice, to be fair, doing those. Mm-hmm. I like to marinate meat as well. You know, different sorts of flavors, get them in there, and that kind of filters quite nicely into the quick food as well, because you can marinate it the night before, you put it in the fridge, you get home from work the next day and you bung it in the oven, and you've got normally something very tasty that can go with a pita bread or a wrap or mm-hmm. with some rice or whatever you want to have with it. So always tends to be kind of quick and easy stuff, but
I mean, that's kind of, I think that's like, those are fun dishes and fun
yeah, recipes. So it's, you know, it's just things where I think, yeah, I could get it from a frozen bag or whatever and bung it in the oven, but also I could take half hour out of my day and just, mm-hmm. you know, do it properly and grill it, and it does tend to taste much better, and it's usually cheaper as well.
And you know what's in it, like there, you know, there's no crap in there, like you made it.
Yeah, you know exactly what went in it, and if it's no good, there's only you to blame as well.
Yeah,
all sorts of stuff like that. So
blame the logistics department. Oh wait, that's you.
I'm telling myself to take it back to the kitchen.
Send it back to the kitchen. That's great.
Okay,
call the manager.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Do you still cook any curries? Like, is that something like you picked up from your dad?
I don't really cook curries, to be honest, because I think my old man, my dad's in charge of the curry mm-hmm. department, to be honest. So, you know, there's one normally, even now, at least every 2 weeks he makes, mm-hmm. you know, and he makes a giant pot of it, and it probably half of it gets eaten there, and then and the other half gets frozen and used mm-hmm. later. So mm-hmm. there is always curry in this house. Mm-hmm. homemade or not homemade, there is always a frozen curry in a tub somewhere in a freezer that mm-hmm. you can take out in the morning and eat of an evening, and it is really nice as well, because, you know, to be fair, when we talked about just a minute ago, you know exactly what's in there, mm-hmm. and it is normally just good healthy stuff with, you know, very little salt and very little, you know, mm-hmm. bad stuff in there. So there is always curry knocking around.
Yeah,
always.
And I mean, that's also the kind of the best kind of convenience food, right? I mean, it's like a curry that you made yourself, that you've like thrown in the freezer, and whenever you don't feel like cooking, or whenever, like on a random weeknight, you're like, hey, I got this, like, and it, you know, it's good, like it's not trash.
Yeah, and also I'd say probably the only difference is between that and kind of ones you can buy in the supermarket. All you have to do is just remember to take it out the freezer in the morning. And then by mm-hmm. the time you get home, just bung it in the microwave for mm-hmm. 5 minutes or whatever. And you got a nice curry.
Yeah. I mean, even if you forgot, like, you could still throw it in the microwave. Might take a little longer, but it is like, it's still there. Like,
exactly.
The last topic I wanted to talk to you about is something you mentioned earlier. You talked about baking. And like, we have talked about cooking so much, and cooking with your dad and like your grandma and so, but you said that you like baking with your mom.
Yeah. So it isn't something we did very often, but a lot of the time when I was younger, my mom actually used to be a childminder. So she used to look after kids. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of thinking about it, it was kind of one of the activities she did with them. So they'd all come home from school, including me, and it would be, yeah, we'll cook some muffins, or, you know, bake a cake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was always, we baked this today, and they all took a bit home with them and whatnot. So I think it was always something to kind of occupy people more than out of, you know, wanting to get a mm-hmm. cake or whatever. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I always remember a lot of muffins and a lot of things like that where we, sometimes it was even, you know, those ready-made mixes you can get mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It was, you know, just as quick and, you know, mm-hmm. as simple as that on a weeknight again. So an awful lot of that kind of baking and whatnot. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that something you enjoy as well, like baking at all?
It's not something I've done in a long time, to be honest, thinking about it. I mean, I'd say probably the last time I baked anything was when I was in school doing doing food technology, and I made some muffins and they were quite nice, but I think I made a pizza as well and some bread, but it isn't something I've done probably in well however many years, a long time.
Why do you think that is? Is it like just there was never like a good opportunity, or is it like you just didn't enjoy it?
I did enjoy doing it. I think, again, probably just the opportunity thing and, you know, kind of the urge to do it. I think whenever I've done it, it was always someone else has instigated it. I've never gone, let's bake a cake or let's bake some bread. It was always, do you want to do it? And I go, oh, yeah, all right, that's fine. You know, it was never something that I went out of my way to do, I don't think, and kind of thought about doing and wanted to do, unlike probably probably other cooking as well. And I think for me as well, I'm very much a savoury person more than anything else. I don't really have a sweet tooth. So I remember the last time I did make muffins was when I was in school. I made cheese and chive ones. I didn't make, you know, everyone was making chocolate chip and all this kind of stuff. And I made cheese and chive ones.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And for muffins especially.
Yeah, so, I don't have a sweet tooth at all. At all.
Yeah, I mean, I got a task for you now.
Oh, dear.
Over the weekend, like, you can bake something and take it to the office. I'm pretty sure Joe will enjoy that.
Yeah, he'd probably drop it like a sign there.
Oh, it's true.
No. Well, I've got Friday off, so what I'll try and do is just try and bake something this Friday.
Yeah, there's your opportunity.
Like, there you go.
You might get back into it. Like, it's really funny. Like, I know quite a few people that over this whole quarantine corona thing started baking again. Like, they had dropped it because, like, same thing as you said, like, there was no good opportunity for it, or like they just like didn't have the time, or like didn't think about it at all. And then corona came around and they're like, let's bake. Why not? Of course, like, yeah. I got nothing else to do. Let's bake. So
that's probably when I started cooking more again. You know, and it was always more kind of simple things, but I remember thinking to myself, well, I've got the time to sit down, plan the ingredients I need. You know, I can go around the shop with my list, make sure I get everything, and really try and do something from scratch that I've done myself. And I did do it probably 3, 4, 5 times over lockdown where I've gone out and cook something and, you know, made something that was quite nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of restaurants were closed like at some point or another as well. So kind of, pushed you a little bit in that direction. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So I'll check in with you on Friday and then with Joe next week. We'll see. It's always like, I mean, it's something I've done. Like, I'm the random baker like type. I'll not bake for like months and months, and then like on a random Sunday I'll be like, I feel like baking, and I'll just pick whatever I have, like what's around and I can do, and take it to the office the next day. Because like you, I'm not a person that has a sweet tooth at all. No. So I'm like, I like baking, I just don't like eating. So I'll just like the people in, like in my team are usually my guinea pigs. Like they'll get to eat all the stuff that I made. And there has been some stuff. Like I once made brownies with sea salt. Unfortunately, I forgot to grind down the sea salt. So there were like big chunks of sea salt like in between. Like, it was kind of a surprise. Like, you would eat like a really, really nice brownie, and all of a sudden like there was like a big salty bit. Yeah, I get to hear that to this day. Like, they'll tell me about that.
I do hope you didn't tell them either when they're, because these are lovely, and then you get to it and your face goes red and it's
I didn't know. I said that since I didn't try them, so I wasn't even aware of them, and they told me after, like, like, shit, okay, yeah, that's right. I just thought, well, just throw the salt in there, it's gonna like dissolve, and it did.
No.
It did. I'm like, oh, okay. Wasn't
purpose. What's the problem? You're not eating them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. They were still good, so it didn't matter. Like, it's just the random bits were not good.
I'm in the mood to make some cheese and chive muffins now, actually.
Maybe that's the thing you're gonna do for the office. Cheese and chive muffins. I actually should put that in the links as well. since we talked about it. All right. I think that's like kind of a really good episode lengthwise. Is there anything you still want to share or talk about? Anything came to mind?
No, to be honest, I haven't done a lot in terms of cooking and kind of that kind of thing, but
Well, I mean, you're young, like you're still got.
I do have an interest in it. So, we shall see what my cheese and chive muffins come out. You know, it could be a signal for the future. You don't know.
Oh, it could be. It could be a future business. Like there will be the Callum cheese and chive muffin emporium. You never know.
See, you can come in and get your iPhone screen fixed while you eat my muffin.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good idea.
You go.
There you go.
I don't know, would you want to eat a muffin made by an engineer?
Yes, totally.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of engineers are artists, so like baking is an art.
Yeah.
So I would definitely do that. All right. Thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun. Like, I always like talking to different people. And, like, I mean, obviously, I know you, so it was kind of an easy guess.
Yeah.
I was like, Callum, you want to do it? And you were like, yeah, sure. So
yeah,
that was kind of easy. But I always like talking to like different people, different age groups, different countries, different backgrounds. Like, I mean, your Irish background, like all of that, like very different to mm-hmm. like Ewan's, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very, very, very cool. Tell mm-hmm. everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can get hold of me on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. You can get hold of everything I do at imnmax.com. I'm more than happy to answer any questions and help anyone out with anything. Mm-hmm. So, been a real pleasure to come on as well. And, probably dug into some things that I haven't thought about in a long time as well, which has been... been a pleasure and been interesting. Yeah,
that's the magic of Woody Flashback. Like we get to the bits that you didn't even think about. That's kind of the fun thing. Like it would be boring if we just got to the things that you already remember.
I mean, in fairness, I came into this episode thinking, what the hell am I going to talk about? We've still managed to do pretty much an hour. So.
Yeah, it's funny. Like that's almost everybody. Like there are a couple of people like you and Jeff and so on. They're like. Like they knew or Doc, like they knew they could talk like about food for like 15 years. Easy, easy, easy.
Yeah.
But most people were like, I have no clue what we're going to talk about. Like, I don't know how we're going to even fill like a 5-minute show. I'm like, oh, don't worry. We'll find something. And we always end up somewhere in the like 45 minute to an hour 10 minutes mark. So it's very, very easy actually.
Yeah.
It's good. Like,
you know, it's such a massive part of everyone's life and they don't, you know, a lot of the time they don't realize it, but everyone's got memories and everyone's got good things and bad things and everyone's cooked as well at some stage. So,
yeah, I mean, even if you've never cooked yourself, you've eaten. And exactly. It's interesting. Like, I mean, Tom, for example, like he doesn't like to cook. He doesn't cook really, like barely ever cooked at all. He doesn't enjoy food too much. But there's a story behind that, like how we grew up and like how that came to be. And that was a very interesting story. So it's like everybody has a story. Like even if you don't like food, even if you don't care about food, even if it's like more functional, there's a story.
Why don't you care about food?
There's a story. Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to find. So it was really fun. And that's it. I'm looking forward to the cheese and chive muffin emporium. In the future.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Exactly. You heard it here first. All right. You can find this very podcast, all the episodes, everything on foodieflashback.com. If you want to be like a guest like Callum, even if you think you got nothing to tell, don't worry. We'll figure it out. We'll do that together. That's my job, basically. I'm there to guide you, and you're the one with the stories. Reach out to me on Twitter at foodieflashback, or like there's a little form on foodieflashback.com where you can just fill out like a few bits and pieces, and then we'll set something up. Like very, very easy, very simple. And yeah, please do that, and please also share this episode on social media so other people can enjoy that, because I think I think this is interesting and I think this is important, like to document also like the different voices and different approaches and not have the same voices all over. So, I mean, you always hear from the really from the foodies and from the chefs and from the people that really, really, really care about food. And it's fun to hear from people, like normal people, people that like might be interested, but not to that level. Like not interested at all, as we said.
People's perspectives are always interesting than any gutter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much again, Callum. Thanks for being here. And talk to you next time. Bye.